The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Well, good morning, Shasta County, and those listening in other areas. I am Kevin Cry. This is my show. You're listening to KCNR 96.5 FM, 1460 AM, your talk radio. You could also listen online, streaming at KCNR1460.com. And again, my shows are always archived there, as well as VoteKevinCry.com. You can listen commercial-free. And I'm just thankful. I'm thankful. David, good morning. How you doing, sir?
Good morning.
Thank you for showing up and being here and being the man behind the controls. So really quick, today as we jump in, and also not just at VoteKevinCry.com, but you can also follow me at VoteKevinCry on Facebook. I've been putting out a little bit more content lately. I've been meeting with some different business owners, asking them some questions, and really just trying to keep as many people plugged in as possible. I think the month of October is one of the most important months of the year when there are elections, because those are the 30 days prior to election day and ballots come out. And the more people that understand what's going on, the better. I mean, I would have never guessed I would be doing an every other Sunday radio show, or much less posting on Facebook or be in office. I think a great indication of that was I was at Shasta High School this last Thursday with Mr. Tom Toller, who's our new ROV, county clerk, and we were talking to high school seniors in their American government class about voting and about just elections. And one of the things that Mr. Toller had said, he was in the very first period of the day, he was talking about the process to run for office. And he said, well, just like Supervisor Cry, he went down to our office, he filled paperwork out because he wanted to make a difference for Shasta County. And I said, no. And I kind of just blurted out. It was almost like I was back in high school. Some of the students laughed and the teacher kind of looked at them. And so then when it became my turn to talk, you know, a few minutes later, I said, well, the reason I got into politics because I was really pissed off because a bunch of you who were in probably in 7th or 8th grade were locked out of your schools and your parents' businesses were shut down for no reason, essentially. And a lot of the kids just started shaking their heads, you know, up and down, yes. And so I explained to them why it's super important that they get involved at 17, 18 years of age. And actually, I'm going to wind up having quite a few interns, I believe, out of the day. And we're going to – it was exciting. I'll just say that. The more people that get involved, that understand what's going on, the better. And I even told the students, I said, you don't even have to agree ideology-wise with me or your parents or anybody else. Just understand what you believe, research it, and then get involved in a very polite – and conversational way to make your feelings known, because if you don't, somebody else is going to do that for you. And great dialogue, and I'll be talking a lot more about that later. So quickly, the weather. It is going to be 101 degrees today, so if you're going to be out at the Stillwater Powwow, out at the rodeo grounds, doors open at 9 o'clock this morning, and the grand entry is at noon. It's going to be hot, so bring a lot of water. And then Monday and Tuesday, it's going to be in the upper to mid-90s, but then get a load of this. On Friday, it's supposed to drop all the way down to a chilly 81 degrees. So that actually makes me feel like fall is on its way. And I've always loved fall, because when fall hits and it's a really, really nice maybe 6 weeks of the year, and then it starts to rain a little bit as we get closer to winter, that means basketball season is arriving, and that's always one of my favorite times of year. I love basketball tournaments, and I love I won't say just Christmas, but I love the winter season. But summers, I'm always going to be the biggest fan of summer, because you can be outside running and sweating, and I love that. So all right, we have a lot to cover today. I do want to give you some updates. I've spoken about having debates and streaming it live. And one of the things with some of the candidates, I'm trying to give a little bit more time for some of the City of Reading candidates to reach out, because I'm not trying to approach all of them. So again, if you want to see your candidate, the one maybe you prefer, or maybe a candidate you want to learn more about, reach out to them on social media or a phone call or Pony Express, Telegram, whatever you have to do, and encourage them to reach out to me, because the next show I do, which will be October 20th, I'm going to have the City of Reading candidates on. Either they'll be on together or I'll have them broken up, kind of like I did in the District 2 supervisor race, where I'll bring them each in maybe for 10 or 15 minutes apiece. But I do have an update. I will be doing an interview with Heather Hadwick. I'm doing that in about a week and a half. I'm going actually up to Modoc, up to her hometown, and interviewing her up there. So what I will do is Mayor Audette, I will be interviewing her as well, and I will post both of those interviews on the same day after I have them both recorded. So if you have questions that you would like me to ask them, please send those to me. You can message me on Facebook, or you know, text me, call me, email me, whatever, but get me that information, because I'm excited about both of those interviews, and I will post those. And looking back at our last Board of Supervisors meeting, I'm going to throw a couple little updates up here, because we don't have a meeting this Tuesday. This Tuesday's meeting was canceled due to a lack of items. If we have less than 5 calendar items, whether they're regular calendar or in consent, I have the option of canceling the meeting. And really, when I say I have the option, I do have the option, but I really defer to staff and say, hey, like, you know, what are the issues? What are they? Can they be pushed? Is there any chance that a contract could be stalled, or would it then become a retroactive agreement, et cetera? And if they say no, this can easily be absorbed in the following meeting, then that's what we do. So if there was one major big pressing issue, it would be worth doing the meeting just for the one. But there wasn't. So we had five items that were pushed. So as a result of that, I did have a constituent reach out and say, why don't you do just a meeting for public comment? And I'd actually thought about that when I was setting the calendar at the very, very beginning of this year, when we set the calendar and moved in that direction. One of the things for me was, why don't we just have a night or two of public comment? But then that brought up, well, just because the supervisors can be there for public comment, that doesn't mean the staff can't. So that means the county council, the CEO's office, the clerk of the board is going to have a couple. So really, that's one of the reasons why I do the coffees and as many other public type things as I can do, because I want to be available to people that want to listen. And one of the things I've realized about public comment, some people just use that because they don't have a network or an opportunity to get up in front of 50 or 100 people and just say what they want to say. I mean, people that truly want to make a difference, they'll call each of us and then they'll meet with us and really articulate solutions or issues they have. But some people just use it for social media sound bites and theatrics. And it's really not about making the county better. It's just about a platform where they can get their moment of fame, which is fine. I mean, they're entitled to that. So what I'm going to do, and I reached out to Supervisor Chris Kellstrom, District 5, and because I could only talk to one, and I said, hey, this Tuesday's meeting's canceled, but I did get somebody saying, hey, why don't you just have that meeting? And I explained to the person in an email that there's a huge staff cost to still having the meeting going and streaming it and doing all of that. So I told Chris, I said, the idea, though, I don't disagree with, that's an opportunity for some people to come talk. So I said, hey, how about we both just show up on the steps and we stagger it out. So maybe from 9 a.m. to 10 a.m., one of us could be there for a half an hour each. And if people want to come and say whatever they want, and guess what? You don't have 2 minutes or 3 minutes. You can have 15 or whatever it is. So what we're going to do is, if you're listening to this, I will be on the steps in front of the Board of Supervisors at 9:30. I'm pretty sure Supervisor Kellstrom said he could commit to being there at 10:30 on Tuesday and stay for a half an hour or so. So I will be on the steps in front of the Board of Supervisors at 9:30. Now, if other elected officials, meaning Supervisors Jones, Garmin, or Rickert, hear this, or a constituent reaches out to them, maybe they could also show up on the steps, and they don't have to necessarily be, within talking distance of me. But I think the more the public gets an opportunity to speak to their elected officials, the better. So there again, a constituent reached out, and I'm troubleshooting that because I don't disagree. I do agree with the fact that we should be available. We had a meeting scheduled, so I'm going to make that effort. I will be there at 9:30. I already had an appointment that will last until about 9:20, 9:25. And it's with the constituent, and then I will be on the steps, and I'll wait, 5-10 minutes. If nobody shows up, I'll probably bail, but if there's people there, bring coffee, we can sit and chat, and I know that I've done that before, and sometimes I wind up being somewhere, 2 or 3 hours. Another thing that came up this past week was our CEO, Dave Rickert, who's doing an absolute bang-up job. Very thankful to have him. He brought forth in his ledge update or his report that he's going to look to eliminate the assistant CEO position at the mid-year budget meeting. So that will be coming back. And, it's interesting with that because when Matt Pontus came pre-COVID, he actually with him brought 6 new positions. I mean, he grew government at a rapid pace. And if you want to know more information about that, just reach out to our auditor controller Nolda Short, which I'm sure she wouldn't be happy that I'm giving you this insight, but ask her for the documentation of the third floor expenses and how they just rapidly grew under CEO Pontus. And when Pat Minturn became our interim CEO, he eliminated one of them right off the bat. And now Dave Rickert is taking this one back. I mean, it's going to be upwards of savings of, I think it was roughly $350,000 with salary and benefits. And when the position was originally created, it was about dealing with marijuana grows and the jail, which very, very little to nothing in both of those buckets happened during the process of that position being created. And, obviously I've mentioned it before that there's no way we are getting a jail without a 1 cent sales tax going forward. I mean, that's not a popular thing to say, but anybody who runs a campaign or talks about public safety and talks about a jail, and it's not even so much just that, it's the state of California doesn't want to incarcerate people. So until legislatively the state starts going into a different direction about how people are dealt with that break the law in terms of incarceration, etc., they're not going to make it easier. So I'm sure that item will come back later in the year. Also, at our last meeting, a person came up in public comment. Her name's Deborah Heiner. I'm going to have her make a presentation on October 15th at that board meeting. It's the A21 Walk for Freedom. That's October 19th. So she'll present on that on October 15th. We are going to have a great presentation about this walk. That was the very first one they had here locally last year. I think there was roughly 50 roughly people in it. This year, I'm going to be doing it. I've been putting the word out, trying to get as many people. I'd love us to see 500 or 1,000 people attend this walk. It is, I'm told, about a 4-mile walk. So if you're going to wear barefoot shoes, be training for that, because 4 miles is not a short distance. But in all seriousness, I will say that I think the more that we can send a message as a community to that we're not going to put up with this in our county, and bring more light to human trafficking, especially that of children, I think the better. And I know that I've reached out to different individuals in various departments across the county, so I'm really looking forward to that. The last thing I'm going to touch on, and before I jump into really what I want to talk today as it relates to some voting things coming up and feelings I have, but you've heard me talk quite a bit lately about organizing a meeting with the DA, the sheriff, other law enforcement agencies, the public defender, and of course the courts. I've had a few different meetings with DA Bridget, with the public defender's office, with the courts, with law enforcement agencies, And there is this narrative that, again, a lot of people are saying, hey, what is it? And I say it like this almost every time is, are we not arresting people? Are we arresting people, but there's no place to put them? Are we not prosecuting people? Are we are there not enough judges? Like, what's the reason that people are having their cases dismissed and things are moving? And so I've had, again, I've talked to all these different organizations. Stephanie, DA Bridget, agreed to a meeting. The courts then, of course, met about that, and I've been trying to facilitate that. So now where they are, they've all agreed to sit down and have a meeting. So I will keep everybody updated, because I think the only way some of these things are going to get remedied is get all the people in a room and have the tough conversation. I don't have to be in that room. I wanted to be in the room just solely so, A, I could see firsthand that it's happening, and then really just be able to say, hey, like, let's just call a spade a spade, or let's just call things out for what they are. Are those conversations uncomfortable? Absolutely. Nobody likes, I shouldn't say nobody likes confrontation. See, I don't think confrontation's bad. I think confrontation is healthy. Am I the best at it? No. I definitely have room to grow in terms of how I sometimes approach confrontation. I mean, as I'm getting older, now that I'm a grandfather and I'm 48, I definitely have calmed down some. But when I'm passionate about something, I'm really unapologetic about being passionate about something. So I just want all these people to get into a room and say, hey, let's figure out, no finger pointing, let's make our community safer, because the media has their spin, and sometimes the media doesn't even do really the work of what it takes to get to the bottom of stuff, or stuff will be said, well, hey, I'm going to tell you this, but it's off the record, you can't repeat this. So the media knows a lot more than they're leading on. But again, this is just about making our community safer, and I don't think there's anybody that doesn't want that. And that's a good segue into my next topic, is about what people want and why is it that they're passionate, moving towards those things. So many of you probably got your ballot guide in the mail, and I got mine. And of course, at the front, you see you have all the paid candidate statements and this is the county one. There's a state one, or a state and federal one, as well as a county one. Now, the county one, we received in the mail on Saturday. And for us, because of where we live, there's just Measure J in terms of school bonds, because everybody's probably in Shasta County has a school bond of some sort, because I know Pacheco, Cottonwood, Cascade, Shasta Union High School District, they all have ballot measures. And again, my stance has always, I shouldn't say always been, my stance has been on these ballot measures, read them very, very thoroughly, make sure that the schools are going to be using the money for what, you believe it should be used for. The more money that we could raise or collect locally and not have to rely on the state and what their strings may be to spend money, the better. I will be supporting Measure J personally, and that's going to be for the Gateway School District, because again, if I'm ever going to get taxed on something, and personally for me, I'm never going to shun not wanting to support kids. And when you look at school boards and you look at the superintendent and you look at the direction of that organization, for me, the board at Gateway, they don't always agree, but I do believe each of them have a heart for kids and seeing kids move in a positive direction. The superintendent, Kyle Turner, phenomenal superintendent. Gateway's very, very lucky to have him, and I believe he's the way it's written. Measure J is, I think it's very thorough, and I can see where my money's going to go. And also, for many of you, you're already paying a lot of this. This is just going to continue the tax rate or the bond going forward. So as you go deeper into your ballot guide, you'll see Measure P. Now, Measure P is something I wrote, and it's adding to the Shasta County Charter that will go into effect January 1st of 2025. Now, this is about eminent domain, and don't do it now, but later, Google Chimney Rock. Chimney Rock It's an area affected by the hurricanes in North Carolina back east. And if you see, government organizations are seizing supplies from large nonprofits. And there's also a couple areas, I'll pull it up here because I don't want to misspeak in terms of what community it was. But you do have some communities, actually, that eminent domain is becoming a thing because the government basically is saying, we're just going to bulldoze this because it's safe and this is what we want to do. So they're bulldozing private property. Now, that doesn't tie in exactly to what we're talking about with our eminent domain. But when people say that eminent domain isn't an issue for us here in Shasta County in California, I'm really just speechless, because really what you have is you have people that are opposing Measure P. And again, if you look in the ballot guide, it says for. It says Kevin Cry, Chair, Board of Supervisors, County of Shasta. And then against, it says Julie Winter, City Council, Timothy Garman, District 2, Lawrence Russell, who's retired, Pamela Morgan. It says an individual. I believe that's the same Pamela Morgan from Shasta Lake City Council. But you're talking about people that think government is the solution. So for me, who wrote it, I very much believe government is the problem. And these individuals who are against it thinks government is the solution. So I'm going to read a little bit about this, and we're going to be able to. And the other thing, too, I just got a message from a constituent. When you look at Chimney Rock and you look at what's going on there, do a search in on X, or formerly Twitter, or on Facebook. And understand why eminent domain is so important. So the argument in favor of Measure P, again, I and staff wrote this. It says, the Board of Supervisors of the County of Shasta submit Measure P to the electors for their consideration as an additional provision to be added to the Shasta County Charter. So here's a really, really quick sentence here. It's the second sentence in your ballot guide. It says, approval of Measure P will protect private property rights by prohibiting the county from using eminent domain powers to seize property from a private owner for the purpose of giving it to another private property, right, or another private party. So, boom, right there. This is about just protecting private property rights from the government taking it and then giving it to another private party. The next paragraph down. The power of eminent domain must be limited and must only be used in cases of a demonstrated public necessity. Now see, here again, right? If there are cases of demonstrated public necessity, right, the county still has that provision, has that right. So if you're talking about widening a road or putting in a bridge, but it says this measure would prohibit the county from using eminent domain to acquire property from a private owner without their consent for the purpose of giving the property to another private property. It would also ensure that this protection of property rights is embodied in the charter of the county and not subject to change by any future Board of Supervisors without an amendment returning it to the electors. So what this says is, I also want to make sure that when this is in place, a new board can't just say, well, we don't like that, we're going to take it away because we know better because we're the government. No, no, no. It's got to go back to the voters. And you could read more in here. I'll give you another one. It says, everyone shares equally in the right to own and enjoy their own property. The board believes home and business owners in Shasta County deserve a guarantee that their property rights will be respected. This measure would provide that guarantee. Now, when you skip down to the rebuttal, to the argument in favor of Measure P. So these are the people opposing Measure P. So they get to put a rebuttal in the ballot guide against the argument. Now, I'm not sure if this is a former public defender that wrote this, but he's terrible, if this is the right person. And I'll tell you, like, how idiotic some of this is, right? So in here, it says, I mean, it's so bad. I'm going to try not to laugh. It says, changing a county charter through a ballot measure before it is legally in place risks bypassing comprehensive deliberation and review processes typically required for such foundational documents. A charter is designed to provide stability and consistency in local governance while reflecting the needs and values of our community. It says, we believe that the yet-to-be-enacted charter should have time to mature, as if this is a wine, sorry, should have time to mature before changes are made. Measure P does not fully consider expert opinions. Now, think about this. It says, Measure P does not fully consider expert opinions, legal implications, or long-term impacts on county operations and services or costs. So I'm going to read this again. Measure P does not fully consider expert opinions. Guess what? Guess what? The experts are the frickin' property owners, the voters. That's what's asinine about this. These individuals are saying, we are the government, and we know what's best for you. It says, skipping down, it says, the charter that was approved in March 2024 is not yet in effect. In the spirit of supporting local control, the voters deserve the chance to observe the effects of this new law before more changes are made. Again, check this out. The charter that was approved in March. Okay, why was it approved? Oh, that's right, because 56% of the voters said they want it, right? And it says, in the spirit of supporting local control, what is more local than having a vote to form what you want for your community? That is crazy to me. In the spirit of supporting local control, the voters deserve the chance to observe the effects. So they're not interested, people. They're not interested in the voters getting to see what's going on. They're trying to take it out of your hands so you can't have a say in your own private property rights. Now, going back. So now I'm going to go to the argument against Measure P, right? So this is their argument against it. So that was the rebuttal. This is their argument. And it says, first and most importantly, eminent domain is already controlled tightly by existing law, right? So they're saying that, and Prop 99 is in place. But what we know is the state of California makes up rules and they change it. They change things on a whim. So what we're going to do is we're going to say, hey, you can change whatever you want as it relates to eminent domain. But here in Shasta County, we value our private property rights and you're not taking them. So here, going back to their argument against, it says, secondly, changing a county charter in California before it is enacted in 2025 is not a good way to make sure government decisions consider community input and are thoughtfully made. Now, if this guy is an attorney that wrote this, and if you ever paid him to be your attorney or her to be your attorney, I hope you get your money back because I can't imagine you ever won a case. I'm going to read this again. Secondly, changing a county charter in California before it is enacted in 2025 is not a good way to make sure government decisions consider community input. Listen to that. They're basically saying that voting, your right, your almost obligation to have a voice in your community, right, is not community input enough. What they're saying here is make sure government decisions consider community input and are thoughtfully made. That is the craziest thing to me, that they're saying that your vote is not community input enough. What they're telling you is they want to make sure their friends, their cronies, their elites get to gaslight you and the public long enough to make you think, oh, you know what, maybe I shouldn't own anything, and maybe I would be happier because of it. It's insane, people. And then the last part here, it says, in their last little paragraph, it says, you are urged to vote no on Measure P. Shasta County needs a deliberate, intentional approach to charter amendments. The new board members, as of January 2025, should ensure that changes are made with thorough consideration of the best interest of the community's long-term welfare. You know what they're saying? They're saying they think that if the board majority becomes more government-driven, that maybe they can return Shasta County to being run by the elites, not by the little guy, not by the blue collar. I don't care if you're blue collar, white collar, whatever. But let's call this out for what it is. People trying to decide for you what they think and what they know is best. So here's my rebuttal to the argument against Measure P. So all of their garbage that they just put in there about basically saying, hey, we're going to get community feedback and we're going to tell you what's going on before we give it to you, the voters. And I'm just saying, no. How about we just bring something up and we get it to the voters? Let the voters decide. Because they're basically, I mean, Supervisor Rickert up on the dais at one point said she didn't think voters were smart enough to be able to figure it out. And that was about the charter going back into March. And I think voters are very smart. I think they're going to do their work because on this item, Measure P, eminent domain, this is really, really simple. Do you think private property rights are sacred or not? So here's my rebuttal to the argument against Measure P. And keep in mind, they've got these massive paragraphs. Here's what I put, and I'm going to read it verbatim. It says, bottom line, Measure P protects private property rights and limits the county's ability to exercise eminent domain for the benefit of a private person or entity. That's it. That's what it is. And I believe Measure P could pass higher than Supervisor Kellstrom's measure that he put on the ballot that we passed in March, 77%. That was the one that the community overwhelmingly said, two terms is plenty. Two terms is plenty. 8 years is plenty to get done what you need to get done. So 77% of the people in Shasta County think two terms is plenty for a supervisor. But yet we have a supervisor running for a third term because who cares what the voters think? All right. I'm a little fired up about that. Dave, we're going to take a break. I know I'm a little bit past. We're going to come back and we're going to talk about Measure Q. And we're going to talk about why people don't want Measure Q to pass. But I'll tell you, Measure Q is going to pass because, again, it's about returning the rights back to the voters as fast as possible. With that, we'll take a short break.
KCNR Shasta is also broadcasting at K243CT Reading.
It's time again for the Majestic Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th, at the Reading Rodeo Grounds with free admission for all ages. See the return of the beautiful dancers, the feel of the powerful drummers. Learn and experience firsthand the culture of the Native American people. Proudly brought to you by the Reading Rancheria and Wind River Resort and Casino. The Stillwater Powwow, October 4th through 6th, at the Reading Rodeo Grounds. For information, call 530-225-8979 or visit stillwaterpowwow.com. Brought to you by the Potter family, this station, and other proud sponsors.
Hi, this is Cindy at Lauch Landscape Supply, and we're excited to celebrate our 5th anniversary with you. October 4th through the 13th is your chance to save big on products like 2.5-gallon Ranger Pro for only $59 a jug, low mulch mix for only $36 a yard, or pavers for your new walkway or patio start at $3.99 a square foot. It's that time of year to prevent the weeds before they start with 50-pound bags of Dimension pre-emergent covering over 10,000 square feet and on sale for only $33.99 a bag. Considering a water feature, we have pond liner pumps and all the accessories to make your water feature come to life. Needing to prep the driveway before the winter rains? Road base starts at $34 a yard. Maybe you're planning a winter garden this year. Our popular Garden Power Soil will be on sale for only $51.99 a yard. So come celebrate and save with us at Lauch Landscape Supply, October 4th through the 13th at the intersection of Dersch, Turn Creek, and Airport Road. Check us out online at lauchlandscape.com or give us a call at 530-378-2220. For all your construction, landscape supplies, and rental needs, Lauch Landscape Supply, where we take pride in your project.
Everybody has been dealing with the availability of homeowners insurance in Northern California. Companies not writing your home insurance anymore are leaving the state altogether. Siskiyou Insurance has hired a specialist specifically for dealing with a homeowners crisis here in Shasta County. He specializes in what the market is doing, coverages, and which companies may be able to help. Call Brian Dews at Siskiyou Insurance Services for your home or auto consultation. Siskiyou Insurance Services, 530-224-2345 or 1-800-773-2345.
All right, we are back. We are back broadcasting live down here in the heart of District 1 in Shasta County in Redding, California. If I am going to take some call-ins here in about 10 minutes. So if you want to call in, it's 530-605-4567. Again, that number is 530-605-4567. Also, please make sure. Are we good, Dave? Okay, perfect. Just making sure. So we're going to jump over to Measure Q now. And before I jump into Measure Q, which is about elected officials leaving office prior to their term ending. I did visit the elections office on Friday, just did a kind of a surprise pop-in, checked it out, see what was going on in terms of the observation and how people were feeling about the layout. And it was great. And actually, I called an individual that cares very deeply, as we all should, but cares very deeply about election integrity. that person came down and we looked at how they were doing things, and some improvements were made. And I will say the staff at the county clerk's office, you know, I made one comment about like the stanchions. You had stanchions that were away from the tables and they're maybe a couple feet. And I said, well, why can't this be closer? And they said, well, you have to have a walkway. I said, okay. And they said also that, you know, we don't want people reaching over and trying to grab ballots, which they people have done before. And right off the bat, if you thought one political party would be the ones doing that versus another, that's an issue you have, because you have to be very objective. And it's like, you know, I don't think it's okay for anybody to reach over and try and disrupt the process. So I just said, well, hey, how about just put signs up if someone does that, or they break the seal, or not break the seal, but break like the barrier, so to speak, or go over the line, they're just removed. And if you put a sign up, then it's really, really simple, because I don't believe in I won't say punishing, but I don't believe in doing something because a select few may do something bad and that just takes away from everybody else. So the worker, and I won't say the individual's name, but moved the stanchions a foot closer. And I think that's great. And I said, hey, everything that we can do to make observation better for everybody, everybody, every party, Green Party, Independent, Republican, Democrat, whatever, any party that you're a part of, I think it's important that you have the right to observe the elections. And so it was good. So when I was down there for about an hour, I got to see some of that firsthand. So how does that relate to Measure Q? Well, Measure Q is something on the ballot as well. It's a measure that I authored and wrote as well. We have the same dissenters and, you know, people that want to grow government. They like government. They like the power. They like telling people what's good for them. You know, some of these people, and I'm not saying these four individuals, but just sometimes people in general, it's just really comical when other people barely have their lives together, and yet they want to be able to dictate to other people how they have to live. I mean, just, I don't believe in every man for themselves, because I'll tell you, I think the best things I've ever seen in our community have happened during like Snowmageddon, the car fire. And I've seen our community rally really, really, really well around one another, and you're seeing it in different parts of North Carolina now. But I digress. When we get back to the elections, I want to return the vote to the people as fast as possible for those positions, those department heads that are elected, and that would be the sheriff, the DA, the auditor controller, the assessor recorder, and the tax collector. And for me, what we have right now, and we just saw this with Tom Toller, is when he was appointed, when Kathy Darling Allen left office, the board under general law, under the way we are right now in the state of California in 2024, is we have to appoint in a reasonable amount of time. And because the election was in November, we looked and it was a reasonable amount of time to appoint. Now, I personally don't like appointing to elected positions. I much rather would have that go to an election. So when I saw this coming down, I said, okay, we got to put something in place that doesn't allow the Board of Supervisors to be able to have that kind of power. And that's even saying, even if the board majority, let's say in 15 years, 20 years, I'm long gone from this whole supervisor thing, that it just says, you know, even if I agree with the people, quote unquote, in power, it's still not their, it shouldn't be their right to appoint somebody long term. So what we have right now is, when this passes, I believe this will pass as well, that the Board of Supervisors can leave it vacant until the next election. They can call for a special election, and I think that's going to be very, very rare. I mean, you'd have to have, like, the only time I would say in recent memory that I would think that would make sense is when Sheriff Pazenko wins a razor-thin election and then vacates office. And then we had a cascading then we had a sheriff that was appointed that you know, had two votes of no confidence from their staff that just said they were terrible and needed to go. So that person's gone. And then Sheriff Johnson gets it, which I think Sheriff Johnson's doing a great job. But again, I think when Pazenko left, that would be an opportunity for a special election, because you had 3.5 years left. So what this charter will, what this amendment will do, is it will say the board gets to appoint. I'm sorry, leave it vacant. They can call for a special election. But if they choose to appoint, that office holder only gets until the next general election, and then they have to run again. So let's say somebody vacates office and there's 3+ years left on that term. Well, they're going to have to run in about a year because that's the next election that would be scheduled, and it returns the power to the voters. So I'm going to read just the first couple sentences of the argument in favor of Measure Q, which was authored by myself and staff. It says, the Board of Supervisors of the County of Shasta submit Measure Q to the electors for their consideration as a provision to be added to the Shasta County Charter. Now, again, it says, submit Measure Q to the electors. That means we're giving it to you, voters. We're giving it to you. We say, hey, we think we want your input. We want you to craft how you want Shasta County to be. So we're giving it to you, the electors. You decide. Next paragraph. Approval of Measure Q will shorten the amount of time someone may be appointed to an elected office by the board and return the decision to the voters at the next available and fiscally prudent opportunity. Boom. Right there. We want to give it to you, the voters, and we want to make sure the voters get a say at the earliest possible spot. Now, the rebuttal to the argument in favor, of Measure Q, they say, opposing Measure Q is critical in order to maintain a balanced and effective governance process in Shasta County. Wait a minute. So not getting to vote on your elected officials is effective governance. I mean, that's odd. I would think that voters having a say would be the most balanced and effective governance process. But hey, it says Measure Q is onerous and overly prescriptive. Laws change. And look, get a load of this. And this is the genius of the person that wrote this. I mean, this individual, man, is just a nutbag. It says, laws change, and updating this charter provision in response will require another election to approve any changes. What do you mean laws change? That's why we're doing the charter, and that's why we're doing amendments. Because the state of California can continue to be loosey with the football and move the target and change laws and make it harder and take our private property and have it where we have to go along with what they say, or we can craft what we want here in Shasta County. You, the voters. So here's the next paragraph this individual says. He says, a no vote against Measure Q is a vote for local control. Let that sink in. A no vote against Measure Q is a vote for local control. That is the most dishonest thing that I have probably read in a voter guide. And remember, I went through the bogus recall that was untold tens or few hundreds of thousands of dollars spent based on lies. But yet this right here, this one sentence, this individual, should have to move to Madagascar. If you see this individual in Costco, have them explain. I mean, if we know who it is, we don't know who it is. But have them explain how a vote against Measure Q is a vote for local control. Is there anything more sacred than a person with a single vote, which is their voice, to craft a county, to craft the direction of where they live? One person, one vote. That's local control. And that to me is just asinine, that a person would say a vote against Measure Q is a vote for local control. Because when they say local control, they're talking about your government elites, your politicians, the people that hold the office get to dictate what's happening. That's why you're going to see certain people more and more pop up and start supporting different candidates, and understand where that comes from. Understand who knows that slowly, because ever since the boardroom was locked in 2020, ever since Chair Rickert locked the public out of their building and the chairs were removed, people said, whoa, enough. And then that's where we are today. And there's people that understand that the county is returning to the people. The country is returning to the people. And the elites and the people in charge are freaking out. So going back to their argument against Measure Q, it says right here, it says, Measure Q proposes to change the way elected department heads are replaced in case of a vacancy. First, the way that Measure Q changes filling a vacancy does not guarantee that the voters will have a say in replacement. So see, again, their whole argument against Measure Q right off the bat is about misdirection. What we have already is the board already has that power. And what we're saying is we're going to limit that power and we're going to get it back to the people as fast as possible. And then they say, secondly, changing a county charter in California before it is enacted is not a good way to make sure government decisions consider community input and are thoughtfully made. Can I ask anybody out there, is community input, isn't that what voting is? Isn't that the ultimate community input? I don't know anybody that says, man, I wish I could give some input, but, you know, I'm not going to vote. If a person feels strongly about something, about a ballot measure or about a proposition or about a candidate, their voice is that vote. And so the very last sentence, their argument against Measure Q, we have a caller. I'm going to get to the caller here in a second. But it says right here, it says, we urge your no vote on Measure Q. Shasta County needs a deliberate, intentional approach to charter amendments. The new board members, as of January 2025, should ensure that changes are made with thorough consideration in the best interest of the community's long-term welfare. People, if you don't read this and realize they're saying, we, the elected people, we know what's best for you. Let us tell you what's best. And this gets me fired up because it says that the new board, right, quote unquote, the board as of January 25 should ensure that changes are made with thorough consideration. How about not? How about let the voters, the thorough consideration and what's in the best interest of the community's long-term welfare is the voters. If people want to complain about stuff and you haven't voted, I don't want to hear it. You go vote. I mean, we have city council people and candidates that will say they're for the rodeo, but they're not. And you have people that are for the rodeo and have been for the rodeo for years. You can see by their actions. You can see by the fruits of their labor. What have they done? I'm telling you right now, people, Measure P, yes. Measure Q, yes. And understand, the people that are against these and the people that try and gaslight you at the store and saying the board is trying to get more control, it's the exact opposite. It's the definition of Marxism. There, it's the rules for radicals. I'm sorry. We're going to take a caller. Terry, are you there? Terry, are you there? All right. Well, we don't have the caller. Caller must have dropped off. So here is my rebuttal to the argument against Measure Q. It's the very last. It's a very, very boiled down one-sentence thing. It says, bottom line, Measure Q provides an opportunity for voters to elect a candidate chosen by the people sooner than is currently allowed when there are vacancies in local elected positions. And that's what it is. David, do we have a caller? Terry, you there? I heard the phone pick up, and then I heard it hang up.
Sorry, not yet. I'm calling him back.
Okay, great. So we may have that caller back. We may not. That's okay. I know today has been a lot about Measure P and Measure Q, but what I'm seeing when we talk about eminent domain and we see what's going on in North Carolina, we see what I believe is going to be a land grab to a point. And there's always money, right? A lot of this stuff is so driven by money, by power, by very, very less than altruistic plans. It really makes it hard. And I'll tell you, when I was at Shasta High School again this Thursday, it gave me such, I don't want to say just hope, but it was great. It was really great because, and even in some of the conversations we had between classes with a couple of the students, they don't necessarily, and this was so far from talking about real political ideologies. It was just about getting involved and how they can do certain things. All right. Looks like we have a caller back. Terry, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here, Kevin. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can. Go ahead.
I want to thank you, first of all. I love the propositions you put forward. I think they're great. I think they're going to win in a landslide. I love the idea of having to go back to the people, smaller government. Thank you very much for that. And also, I'd like to say that I like the idea of having that conversation with the DA and with the sheriff and the police chief and everybody else. But, you know, everybody's getting tired of this crap. Three nights ago, right over in Westwood near the shopping center, two people were killed, three were wounded, what the hell's going on in Reading? And really and truly, I think that Bridget and all of them should go in front of the people. I love what you're doing in the private conversation, but hey, they have to be accountable to us, and everybody's sick and tired of this.
No, I agree. I agree. So let me do this, because I have another caller. Go ahead, Terry. Go ahead.
Okay, I'll leave it with this. You drive all around Reading now. You don't see a lot of homeless. You see a little group of gangs, maybe three guys, a couple of girls. You know they're up to no good. There's all kinds of stuff. Every so often you see the police busting them up, you know, getting in there and saying, hey, you need to move. It's really, really,
yeah,
really
I agree.
Bad.
So Terry, I got a GM, because I want to...
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you, sir. Okay, so Terry makes a great point, and one of the things that we're definitely... And this is the hard part, right? Like, I have no jurisdiction over the sheriff, the DA, the courts, the public defender, you know, that isn't an elected position. We do have, obviously, some oversight fiscally, but one of the things for me that I really want to... stress is, you know, I want this to be public. At the same time, sometimes there have to be conversations where maybe they can air some stuff out, where it can be very unfiltered, unbridled, which, again, it's tough for me because I'm trying to bring everything to the public. At the same time, you know, I can't push it so hard. Like, I ran on being a uniter. I'm still a uniter. The difference is what I realized when I was coming in, there were certain people that were never going to play nice with me and never wanted me in here in the first place. And they're still working to try and get me out, but they're not going to find anything because I'm about one of the most boring people there is. And what they try and accuse me of, they're doing themselves, but it's okay because we're catching them and they're all becoming accountable. So I will say, Terry, that I'm going to stay on top of that, but it's not even about pointing fingers about who's done something wrong. It's really just, I want to just get to the bottom of it so we can make our community safer. That's really what I want. We're having calls like fly off the hook right now. We've only got a couple minutes left. I will say this before I take one more caller. Tomorrow morning at 7 a.m., I'm going to do Facebook Live. I'm going to pick up with a couple more of these things. So 7 a.m. tomorrow, Vote Kevin Cry on Facebook. I'll be going live at 7 a.m., and I'm going to continue some of these conversations because I think they're really important. Okay, Laura, are you there? You've got about 30 seconds.
Yes, I am there, and good job on pointing out the hypocrisy. But as far as the vote and the sacred vote goes, I'm concerned because our vote is not being counted properly. We have no way to see whether or not it's accurate with those voting machines. Why don't you put on our charter county the ability for the citizens to vote for a 100% hand count audit every single election?
Okay.
That's what I'd like to see.
No, I think that's great. And one of the things I'm going to institute, and I'm going to work on this the entirety of 2025, is... and this is part of the reason I was talking to a bunch of the high schoolers, and I'm going to have – it's going to be open up to a lot of people, but putting together my own little intern group of charter amendments that we want to make going for 2026 because, again, charters have, you know, upwards of 100 issues, and I think breaking them down into small consumable bite-sized things are better. And so, Laura, I appreciate that call. I don't disagree with you. I think that is something we definitely should look at. Voter integrity is, I mean, again, that's what it is. It's the community's voice and people. And here's the thing I'll also tell you, people, you got to get to the ballot box. You got to get to the polls. You got to make your voice heard because your one vote does matter. It does matter. There's a lot of races that are decided by less than a couple hundred votes, especially locally. And if you think, oh, it doesn't matter, I'm not going to vote because it doesn't matter, you're talking about the presidency or whatever, that's fine. Go vote. I mean, it's not fine, but at least go vote for your school bond measures, your school boards, your city councils, and your board of supervisors because that matters greatly. I can't stress enough the importance of people understanding that they have to they have to get their neighbors engaged. They have to get their neighbors engaged. So really quick, just to follow up, don't forget, on Tuesday, starting at 9:30, I'll be on the steps out in front of the Board of Supervisors. I'll be there for at least a half an hour. There is an event at 10 o'clock. The Good News Rescue Mission is breaking ground on some of their new pallet shelters, so I want to try and make it over to that. But Chris Kellstrom, Supervisor Kellstrom, is going to be there on those steps as well, and I would encourage other supervisors to make it. Not sure. I know, again, I know we're still getting people calling in, but I would just tell you this. Log in or go on to Vote Kevin Cry tomorrow morning on Facebook. You can type in some questions. I'll be taking questions tomorrow morning. This is going to be an every Monday at 7 a.m. Thing for the foreseeable future. And I know I've got a couple meetings up in Modoc and then also in Fall River and Bernie, so I'm looking forward to having my coffees there. Thank you for the invitations. Very, very humbled, as well as the one coming up, I believe, in Shingletown that I'll be doing that one with Supervisor Kellstrom. With that, Shasta County and those listening elsewhere, which I know there are many of you, have a blessed week and talk to you soon.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.